We're doing the Chazanish. We're up to page Yud Zayin in these editions, paragraph A in the second chapter. And the Chazanish had discussed that this false bitachon is very dangerous, and when a person tries to show others that he has bitachon when in fact it's not true, so then he ends up teaching people bad habits, false bitachon, whereas a person who's honest and simply says, I don't have bitachon, so he does no one any harm. He knows where he's holding, and he'll work to get out of that. But when a person falsifies his bitachon, so then he could desecrate Hashem's name. People look at him and say, here, we thought he was so great. And then when push comes to shove, they discover that it's all false. V'achen, midat ha-bitachon kinyan alev. We're continuing in paragraph A. When we speak about bitachon, it's a trait that the heart has to acquire. Umiteva botech b'emet be'atzne alechet. When a person really has bitachon, part of the nature of one who has bitachon is that they're modest. V'lo yishama mipiv k'uminam botchim. And you won't find him saying, I have bitachon. You won't find him confidently declaring, I have bitachon. V'gam b'libo ne'nach al chisron bitachono. And even deep down inside, what he thinks about is how he doesn't yet have enough bitachon. And the person is honest and thinks to himself, I haven't yet attained a wholeness with regards to my bitachon. I'm not yet where I'd like to be holding in my bitachon. In actuality, you'll notice that he does have real bitachon. When push comes to shove, he'll have a tremendous faith in Hashem and confidence in the path he's on and connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lo yechat im re'ehu poteach chanut. He won't be scared if his friend opens a shop across the hall selling the same goods. Yishtaded lo la'azol re'ehu. On the contrary, he tries to help his friend. Hey, you're opening a store, let me see how I can help you. Letakno be'etzat tova. We'll try to give him good advice. La'asot avuro v'lishkod al takanato. We'll try to help him. We'll try to ensure. We'll tell him, you need the proper permits for zoning. You might need a place to store your goods. Maybe I could help you out a bit. V'kama min ha'kedusha mosif ba'olam lirot ish oseh chesed im ha'mitaded li'itcharot imo. How much holiness does a person add to the world when you see him do kindness with someone who is to be his competition? U'mosif ti'ila li'ireav yitbarach ashra v'ashrei doro. And people give more praise to those who fear Hashem. Praise this such a person. Praise this generation. When you see someone who says, great, there's someone else who I can help. Ah, so it's competition for me. But good, let me help them nonetheless. Ve'itrono min ha'choshech yitro emet min ha'emet min ha'shekel. Light is greater than darkness, so too truth is greater than falsehood. Ve'itron bitachon amitim, bitachon mezuyav. By the same token, true bitachon is so much greater and different than the falsified bitachon, which he described in the previous section. Just as light is greater than darkness and truth is greater than falsehood. So true bitachon brings a person to a state where, firstly, he doesn't have to publicize his bitachon. Secondly, he recognizes that he still has a way to go. He still has what to work on. And thirdly, his actions reflect the bitachon that he has. If we look beyond what's written, the Chazanish is also illustrating how a person can lead a life of tranquility. And bitachon can bring a person to that balance, that refined balance that the Torah wants us to have, where we do attempt to do what's right, we invest the hishtadlut, we do the human effort, and yet at the same time, we can be calm as we observe and recognize that we are not in full control of the outcome, and we are confident that the one who is in control of the outcome is getting us to the right place. There was a guy who, when he was dating, whenever a shidduch wouldn't work out, he would tell the shadchan, I really want to thank you because you offered me a great shidduch. And the shadchan would say, but you turned her down after one date. And the guy would say, right, but you did the best you could and I did the best I could and it didn't work out, right? But at the end of the day, we're all doing our hishtadlut, and there's the one above who controls where the outcome's going to fall. You did the best you could. You offered me the best girl you could think of that would match. And I did the best I could. I went on the date and I tried. And now it turns out that it doesn't work. Okay, that's in Hashem's hands. You know, it gives a person so much greater tranquility. It can help a person deal with life so much better. So I had to write a letter, and I didn't have the time, and I was working on almost no sleep, forcing myself to write the letter, and I did the best I could to get that letter done right, and I put in all the effort I could, and the person who was supposed to deal with that letter got the letter by email just in time, printed it out, and then went to deliver it. So they traveled the distance, and suddenly they looked down at the file they printed out, and they printed out the wrong file. So after all that work, the letter never got where it was supposed to get to. So I get an email a day later, when it was already too late, telling me, I don't know how it happened, but I know you rushed to get the letter to me, and I rushed to print it, and I rushed to deliver it, and when I reached the location, I suddenly saw I printed the wrong letter. I don't know how it happened, but I never got the letter to its location. So I looked at it, and I thought back to all the hard work I invested to get that letter out, and I said to myself, I guess their Bon Shalom knew better. I guess their Bon Shalom knew that this letter was not supposed to get there, because I did everything I could do to get it done, and the other party did what they could do to get it done. So there was a human error here, right? There was something beyond our control. Everyone did what they could, right? And at the end of the day, it did not work out. The letter did not get where it was supposed to get to. So now you look at it, and you could react in one of two ways. You could call the person and say, why didn't you take a look? And how did you let that happen? But we all know, we could have made the same mistake. When you're in a rush, you could easily make a mistake. We all do, right? So that's normal. That's natural. So a person made a mistake. So if everyone did what they could, and in the end it didn't work out, you tell yourself, I'm not running the show. I have a responsibility to put in the human effort. I did my ishtadlut. Did work out. It didn't work out. What can I do more than that? It's very calming. You could look at it and say, okay, fine. On with life. Hala. Next. What can I do? On that front, I did what I could. Finished. We move on. So I'm saying that the formula that the Chazon Ish is giving us is a formula which helps us have a lower blood pressure. It gives us a more pleasant life. It does not negate investing the human effort. We do our hishtadlut. We do attempt to get the right things done. But then we do not have to get so frustrated when the outcome is not what we expected. Because at the end of the day, there's someone pulling the strings at the end of the day. I'm not in control. And I can live with the fact that I'm not in control. Because bitachon is the understanding in real life that even though I'm not in control, the one who is in control knows what he's doing. And I can be confident that he's going to bring it to the right outcome. Yes?
You mentioned how it's a very comforting outlook. So is it just comforting, or is it a mind game that we play with ourselves? How do we know that this is actually real? Because if we say, you try to be the best person,
so the question, if I would rephrase it, is in order for bitachon to be real, I have to understand that Hashem exists, and Hashem runs the world, and Hashem is doing what's right, and within that system, I can have bitachon. And if I don't have that, then all I'm doing is a mind game. Correct. What you just said is perhaps the reason why the Chazon Ish spent the first chapter explaining to us logically how a person can see Hashem in this world, can recognize that Hashem is here. He led to Emunah from a logical perspective. That's perhaps the understanding of the first chapter. It's true that everything we're describing is only real if a person has developed an understanding of the Emunah. Notice I said an understanding. I did not use the word faith. You notice the Chazon Ish worked on understanding. If we understand, if we can develop a logical understanding that Hashem is running the world, that's when bitachon can be something real. I agree that, as the Chazon Ish took the time to point out, that if a person has not developed that understanding, then the bitachon is going to be fake. It can, you can call it a mind game, you could call it a religious game, you could call it many things. The Chazon Ish also took the time to discuss that there is such a thing as people who will speak about bitachon and it's not real. True bitachon takes a lot of work. True bitachon has to stem from true thought, developing a true connection. And you understand that there's a fine line between being foolish and having bitachon. I gave the story last night about the guy who was willing to go drunk driving and claimed it's all in the name of bitachon. You understand that people can be very foolish in the name of bitachon. That's Pascal's wager. Meaning to say, I don't know, and I sure hope I'm getting it right, is what the Chazon Ish addressed in the first chapter. That people will lead their lives with this question that they don't address, of, is this all real? Am I really doing what's right? That's part of the idea of the book of Job. Where Job can lead his whole life and say, okay, I've been ethical, I've been pious, I've been kind, and now I wonder, does God really know what's going on in this world? Because I have no understanding of what he's doing to me. So that's part of the question that the book of Job is there to address. For sure, many people will lead their lives with that question, but many people will lead their lives with laziness. They will never take the time to verify the answer to that question. They'll sooner take the time to nap for an hour, to read a good fictional book, then take the time to address that question, which really, all of life hinges on that question. When a person closes his shop on Shabbos, he's closing his shop because Hashem said so. And he might like to think, well, I'm not losing any profit. Who said? If the Torah is true, then you're not losing anything, you're gaining. So then why don't you verify, is the Torah true or not? Well, it is, but you gotta do some work. It doesn't just happen. You want to understand something so smart and so deep, it takes some work. Pascal's wager, yes. That's Pascal's wager. Pascal says that many people are religious, not because they really have an understanding or because they really believe, but because they feel like, I'm not sure, I don't know, but if I lead this lifestyle, then I stand to gain so much. There's a whole world to come they believe in. There's so much to gain. And if I don't lead this lifestyle and those religious people are right, then I stand to lose so much because they talk about eternal perdition. So notice that in Judaism we don't. In Judaism we talk about the wicked people end up with 11 months of 12 months. Okay, those really wicked people can end up in 12 months in perdition. We don't say eternal perdition. We say 12 months. Lead an ethical and moral lifestyle because it's the right thing to do in this world, because this is the truth. This is what's right. Okay, so that's Pascal's wager, and that's not the way we want to lead our lives. It's possible that many people do lead their lives that way because people are lazy. Not because people can't find the answer, because people don't invest the time to find the answer. It's an excuse. Again, I didn't hear.
Someone comes to the conclusion that it's wrong.
So I think we addressed that at length in the first few essays of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. You're asking me as though it's a yes or no question, and I think it's a bit deeper. So you're welcome to see those essays, or they're available online. But that's.
Can there be a middle?
I think that people will often live in the middle. You're asking, can there be a middle? I think many people, like the Chazon Ish writes in the beginning of this book, many people lead their lives towing the middle of the road, standing there saying, I think it's right. It's nice to lead this lifestyle. I'm going to behave as though I believe in this lifestyle. I daven as though I believe that someone's listening. But I'm not 100%.
Literal, the truth, all is right, and between this is all baloney, there's somewhere in the middle that this has a lot of value, and you can take whatever from you want, but it's not.
Our sages tell us that when Hashem came to give the Torah to the nations, so different nations asked Hashem what's written in it. So Hashem told each nation a mitzvah that ran contra to their way of life. And each nation said, that doesn't work for me. So a question we could ask is, why didn't Hashem tell them the mitzvahs that ran well with their lives? And one answer that's offered is that when a person approaches the Torah and says, well, what does it say? So then what a person is really saying is, I'm going to decide whether you're right, Hashem, or not. I'm going to decide. Tell me, what does it say? What do you have to offer? Right? I'll call the shots. That's no way in which you can learn Torah. The a priori, the prelude to approaching Torah is, this is God's word. And therefore, I have respect for it, and I'm going to go with it. If I don't have that, then what am I doing? I'm studying a religion. I'm studying something that, okay, let's study Hinduism. Let's study Buddhism. Okay, let's study Judaism.
There are other approaches to that is not that, to learning Torah, that are taught in school.
I think when we speak about Birchas HaTorah, and the importance of Birchas HaTorah, what we're saying is that it is important for us to understand that Torah is not a wisdom like any other wisdom. It is the word of Hashem, and that's why we make a blessing over it. And that's why Hashem said he destroyed his temple over people learning Torah without the blessing on Torah. If Torah is approached as a wisdom, and I'll take from it what I like, so then that's not the approach that's acceptable from Torah's perspective. Hashem says, I gave you truth and nothing but the truth. And by saying, I'll take what I please, what you're basically saying is, it's not truth. It's just like Confucius had some nice sayings. So let me see what I could take from it. That's not Torah. That's philosophy. That's maybe modern science or modern ethics. But it's not Torah. Torah is Hashem saying, I created the world and I'm going to tell you what's right. There is a right, there is a wrong, and I know I created this world. So by what right can a human being who doesn't begin to understand the basics of how the world runs, by what right is he going to say, I'll observe this mitzvah and not that mitzvah? What do you know? I don't mean you specifically, I mean humanity. So the precept to learning Torah is Hashem, who created the world and obviously knows much more than we do, he created us, he told us what's right. I don't see a middle ground in that area. One can say that there are areas of machlokas, there are areas of understanding, there are areas of discussion, what's to be taken literally and not to be taken literally, but that's all within the system of Torah. Within the system, within the tradition, within the written law and oral law. Okay, that's not a compromise on Torah observance. That's working within the system of Torah observance. Yes, within that system, there are times where we say this can be done, this can't be done, this shouldn't be done. This is recommended not to be done. There are different levels of prohibitions. There are times when we say transgress everything, right? And to save a human life, we say you can transgress everything but three mitzvot, right? So yeah, the system, but that's all within the system, right? But that's not gray areas. That's the flexibility of the system itself.